You pull up the app, you tap the airport, you see green. Done right? I have watched this happen more times than I can count. Student pilot, pre-flight complete, plane ready on the ramp. Weather check takes about 45 seconds because the departure airport symbol is green and the METAR looks fine. Visibility 10 miles. Ceiling clear, winds calm. Let's go. 2 hours later, that same pilot is on the phone with their instructor from a fuel stop somewhere they didn't plan to land, trying to explain how they had no idea there was embedded convective activity along the route, or that the mountains ahead were completely obscured in clouds, or that the freezing level was so low it was practically sitting inside the traffic pattern. This is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar, and today we are going to walk through what an actual standard weather briefing looks like, not the 45-second version, the real one. The kind that keeps you from becoming an accident report. Before we get into it, a quick word from our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of this journey. Got your first solo? There is a coin for that, private pilot, instrument commercial, they have got you covered. These are real coins that mark the moments that actually mean something. Check them out at aviationsoul.com. All right, let's talk about how this briefing is supposed to work. There are three types of weather briefings you can request, and most student pilots only ever think about one of them. The outlook briefing is for planning purposes when your departure is more than 6 hours away. You're asking the big picture question. Is this even a flyable day? Should I be making a backup plan? You're not making a go or no-go decision with an outlook briefing. You're gathering information to help you plan. The abbreviated briefing is for when you already have weather information in hand and you need to fill in specific gaps or get an update. You tell the briefer what you already know and they supplement it. This is perfectly appropriate if you have done your homework. It is not appropriate if your homework was a 45-second app check. The standard briefing is the full package. This is what you request when you have not already gotten a current briefing and you are planning an actual flight. And this is the one we are spending our time on today. When you call 1-800-WX-BRIEF or when you log into Lado's flight service at lados.faa.gov, there is a specific order to how the briefer presents information to you. That order is intentional. It is designed to put the most critical information first before you have the chance to tune out. The briefer leads with adverse conditions, SIGMETs, AIRMETs, any convective activity, anything that poses an immediate threat to your planned flight. This is the moment to put down your coffee and listen hard. The briefer is leading with this information for a reason. If there is something that should make you reconsider the flight entirely, you want to know about it in the first 60 seconds. Not after you have already gotten the plane started. Then you get the synopsis. What is the overall weather picture? Where are the fronts? What is the pressure pattern doing? What is the air mass situation? This is the context that makes everything else make sense. A METAR showing ceiling 2000 broken means something very different if a warm front is lifting over your route than if it is a localized coastal marine layer. Then you get current conditions. METARs for your departure airport, your route, and your destination. Also, any pilot weather reports called PIREPs from other pilots who have been out in that airspace recently. This is the layer where most student pilots start and stop. This is also the layer that can be the most deceiving, because current conditions only tell you what the weather is doing right now. Not what it was doing an hour ago, and not what it will be doing when you get there. Then you get forecast conditions. TAFs for your destination and alternates area forecasts. What is the weather expected to do from now through the end of your flight, plus some buffer? This is where a lot of the decision critical information lives, and it is the layer that gets the least attention. Then winds aloft. What is the wind doing at cruise altitude? Where should you file for the best tailwind, the best fuel burn, the smoothest ride? The winds aloft forecast comes from a table called the FD Winds Product, and knowing how to read it is one of the most practical skills you can develop as a cross-country pilot. Then notices to air missions, or NOTAMs. These are not weather, but they come in the briefing package. Closed runways, temporary flight restrictions, light outages on instrument approaches. Anything that affects your ability to operate at a specific airport or through a specific piece of airspace. Then the briefer wraps up with additional information and asks if you have questions. That is six steps. Most student pilots mentally check out after step three. Let us spend some real time on step one, because this is where the AIRMETs live, and AIRMETs are among the most valuable and most ignored weather products in all of general aviation training. AIRMET stands for Airman's Meteorological Information. These are issued by the Aviation Weather Center, which is part of the National Weather Service, and they cover significant weather phenomena that may affect light aircraft operations. And I want to underline that phrase, light aircraft. These are written specifically for pilots of small airplanes. For you? Not for the airlines, not for the military, for the person in the Cessna 172 who is about to fly across two states on a cross country. There are three types identified by the letters S, T, and Z, or as the training community calls them, Sierra, Tango, and Zulu. AirMet Sierra covers two categories of weather that are often associated with each other. The first is instrument flight rules conditions, specifically ceilings below 1,000 feet and visibility below 3 miles. If AirMet Sierra is active along your route, it means somewhere in that area, conditions are at or forecast to be at IFR minimums. For a VFR pilot without an instrument rating, that is not an inconvenience, that is a hard stop. Getting into instrument meteorological conditions, what we call IMC, without an instrument rating, is one of the leading causes of fatal general aviation accidents. Sierra is the signal that this threat is present. The second category under Sierra is mountain obscuration. Peaks and terrain features that are buried in cloud tops or enveloped in fog. If you are routing through any kind of elevated terrain, mountain passes, ridge lines, high plateaus, an active ARMET Sierra for mountain obscuration is telling you that the terrain you're counting on seeing may not be visible when you get there. ARMET Tango covers turbulence, low-level wind shear, and strong sustained surface winds. Specifically, sustained surface winds above 30 knots, low-level wind shear below 2,000 feet above the surface, and moderate turbulence. Here is why this matters even before you leave the ground. If ARMET Tango is showing sustained winds above 30 knots at your departure airport, your crosswind component math just became extremely relevant, especially in a light trainer with a demonstrated crosswind component that starts looking uncomfortable at 15 knots. And low-level wind shear below 2,000 feet is a hazard during takeoff and approach when you are low, slow, and have the least margin for error. In the air, moderate turbulence in a light aircraft can be a fatiguing and sometimes frightening experience. It is not usually dangerous if you are buckled in and flying within maneuvering speed, but it can become dangerous if you're not monitoring your airspeed, if you're caught off guard, or if a passenger who thought they would enjoy flying suddenly realizes they have made a terrible mistake and grabs for the controls. ARMET Zulu covers icing, specifically, moderate icing conditions, and it includes information about the current freezing level. Z for icing. This one tends to catch pilots in the fall and spring when the atmosphere is transitioning. The freezing level might be sitting at 5,000 feet. You are flying a Cessna 172 with no ice protection equipment whatsoever. No heated pitot tube beyond the most basic, no dacing boots, no anti-ice fluid. If you penetrate clouds above the freezing level in those conditions, you're going to pick up structural ice. And structural ice changes the aerodynamic characteristics of your aircraft in ways that can escalate from uncomfortable to unrecoverable faster than most pilots expect. ARMET Zulu does not just apply to intentional instrument flights. It applies to any VFR flight where clouds are visible and the freezing level makes those clouds a potential icing source. Inadvertent icing encounters are not rare. They happen to VFR pilots who drift into clouds or who are operating near cloud tops in cold conditions. Here is something I wish someone had told me when I was training. ARMETs are not just for instrument pilots. There is a tendency in the student pilot community to skim past the ARMET section because it feels like advanced pilot information. It is not. The entire system was designed for light aircraft operators. The A in ARMET exists because someone at the National Weather Service specifically decided to create weather products aimed at protecting pilots flying small airplanes in marginal conditions. So how do you actually use them? In ForeFlight or Garmin Pilot, pull up the weather layers and look for the ARMET overlay. You're going to see colored areas on the map. Different apps color code them differently, but the legend is always accessible. Find your route on the map. Does any part of your flight path pass through one of those shaded areas? If yes, your next question is altitude. ARMETs specify the altitude range over which they are active. An ARMET Tango that covers turbulence from the surface to 8,000 feet is very different from one covering 12,000 to flight level 180. If you're planning to cruise at 4,500, knowing which of those applies to you changes everything. Your next question is timing. Just because an ARMET is active right now does not mean it will be active when your flight passes through that airspace. And just because it is not active yet does not mean it will not develop by the time you arrive. Look at the valid times on the product. Compare them to your estimated time en route on aviationweather.gov. you can pull the full AirMet Text products directly. They are coded but readable. They include the affected area described by navigation fixed coordinates, the altitude range, the phenomenon type, and the valid time window. Spend 15 minutes reading a few of these before your next flight, even if you're not going anywhere, just to get comfortable with the format. Let me walk you through a scenario. You're planning a cross-country, 200 miles roughly, from a small airport in the Midwest to a destination airport you have not flown to before. Departure mid-morning. It is an otherwise decent-looking day. Your departure airport Matar shows sky clear, visibility 10, winds light and variable. The plane looks great in pre-flight, you're ready to go. You pull the standard briefing. The briefer leads with adverse conditions. There is an active AirMet Sierra covering approximately the eastern third of your route. Ceilings below 1,000 feet and visibility below 3 miles in areas of fog and low stratus. That area is forecast to remain in those conditions through early afternoon before gradually improving. There is also an AirMet Tango overlapping that same area. Moderate turbulence below 6,000 feet associated with a frontal boundary that has not fully cleared the region. Your destination Matar looks fine right now. Ceiling 2,000, broken visibility 8, winds out of the southwest at 12. But then you pull the TAF for your destination. And there it is, a tempo group. Temporary conditions of ceiling 500, broken visibility 1 mile in mist. The tempo group runs from 1100 to 1400 local time. Your estimated arrival is 1230. You would never have seen any of that from the departure ramp. The airport looks fine, the sky above you is clear, but the standard briefing just told you that there is a frontal system lingering along your route. The eastern portion of your flight is currently in IFR conditions, and your destination airport is forecast to go below VFR minimums right when you're planning to arrive. Now you have real information. You can delay 3 hours and let the front push through. You can reroute to stay west of the Sierra area and pick a different destination. You can call your destination airport, check that tempo window in more detail, and decide whether the timing gives you enough margin. Any of those might be the right answer, but you cannot make that decision if you stopped your briefing after looking at the departure METAR. For the check ride, the airman certification standards for the private pilot certificate require you to demonstrate the ability to obtain, understand, and use weather information. The examiner is not looking to see that you know how to tap an app and point at a green circle. They want to understand whether you actually processed what the weather is doing and whether you can explain how it affects your flight. Here is what a confident answer sounds like. You tell the examiner, "I pulled a standard briefing this morning. There were no active SIGMETs along the route. There is an AirMet Tango for moderate turbulence, below 8,000 feet in the first half of the route, so I'm planning to cruise at 9,500 to stay above it. I confirmed the winds aloft favor that altitude and give me a light tailwind. My destination TAF shows VFR conditions through my planned arrival window with no significant weather. The only NOTAM I flagged was a taxiway closure at the destination that does not affect my planned runway." That answer tells the examiner everything they need to know. You did the work, you understood the products, you used them to build a flight plan. One last thing. The briefer is a resource. The specialists at Leidos Flight Service are weather professionals. If something in the briefing does not make sense to you, ask. If you see an AirMet and you're not sure how it applies to your specific route and altitude, say so. If the synopsis describes a complex frontal interaction and you're not sure what that means for your departure window, say, "Can you help me understand how this is going to affect conditions when I am out there?" They are there for exactly that conversation, and asking questions during a weather briefing is not a sign that you're new to this. It is a sign that you are paying attention. The 45-second weather check has ended flights prematurely, and in some cases has ended careers and lives. The standard briefing done right takes 8 to 12 minutes. It is the most valuable 8 to 12 minutes in your pre-flight process. Sources for today's segment include the FAA's Aeronautical Information Manual, the Aviation Weather Center at aviationweather.gov, and Leidos Flight Service documentation available at 1800wxbrief.com. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. See you next time.